Much of a meat eater. Okay, we're ready to go there. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. Parshat Shlach. Shlach Lecha. So I actually have four pieces here. I don't know if we're going to get through all of them, but we'll see what we can do. The first is from Rav Schwab. And Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor Shlach Lecha Anashim, send out people, Vayaturu et Eretz Canaan, in order to check out Eretz Canaan. Of course, you know that we mentioned many times there are words in English that even though the dictionary will tell you its origin is Old French or Latin or Greek, many, many words, their origin is Lashon Kodesh. So the word tour, to tour the country, comes from the Torah, right? Lasura Taaretz, Latur, V'yaturu et Eretz Canaan. So Rashi, Lama Nismecha Parshat Meraglin LaParshat Miriam. You know, we just finished in the end of last week's Parsha that Miriam was stricken with leprosy for speaking Lashon Hara about her brother, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi wants to know the nexus here. Why connect the story of Miriam and her Lashon Hara with the Meraglim, which on the surface doesn't seem to be much of a question because they're both Lashon Hara. Right, the Meraglim came back, 10 of the Meraglim came back with terrible Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. But listen carefully. So Rashi says, Lefi shelakta al iske diba, because she was punished for her Lashon Hara, shedibra ba'acheha, that she spoke about her brother, urishayim halalu ra'u, and the spies knew about this, Velo lakhu musar, and they didn't take musar. They didn't learn a lesson from this. That's Rashi. Now listen to what he does with this Rashi. Umashma, the implication of Rashi is, midvarav, sheikar hatfia al hamaraglim, the main complaint on the maraglim, the spies, haita machmat shelo lakhu musar, Mimaisa Miriam, that they didn't learn something from Miriam's episode of Lashon Hara. V'lo shelo nizharu mi'isr Lashon Hara haklalit. But not that they spoke Lashon Hara. They should have, you know, said, well, Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, and they knew about it, but they still spoke Lashon Hara, right? But that's not what Rashi's saying. Not they were punished because they still spoke Lashon Hara, but they didn't learn something from Miriam's Lashon Hara. Muzharim v'omdim bo af terem maisa Miriam. Umukach mizeh, what you see from this is, shahaya ezeh chidush ledina b'isura de Lashon Hara. There was some chiddush, there was a nuance that they should have picked up from Miriam's Lashon Hara. And it wasn't just a quid pro quo. You know, she spoke Lashon Hara, they didn't listen, they spoke Lashon Hara, and they were punished. That's not what Rashi's saying. That would have been easy for Rashi to say, but he's not saying that. He said the problem is that they didn't learn from her Lashon Hara. Didn't learn from her Lashon Hara. Not that they didn't learn not to speak Lashon Hara, they didn't learn something from her Lashon Hara. Shai yicholim lilmod mimasa Miriam, they could have learned from Miriam, shelo hayu yodi mikodem lechein, there was something that they were perhaps not aware of before, that Miriam's punishment should have taught them about Lashon Hara. There was a detail about Lashon Hara that they should have picked up from Miriam that they didn't. And if they would have, they would have avoided what they did, speaking about Eretz Yisrael. Va'al shelo lakhu musar zeh nanshu. Musar zeh nanshu. And because they didn't pick up this new lesson about Lashon Hara, they were punished. V'tzrichim la'avin, we have to understand, eze chidush Bihuchot Lashon Hara, Hayalem Lilmod Mimaisa Miriam. What was the chiddush, the nuance? What was the news about Lashon Hara that they would not have known before the experience of Miriam, and from Miriam they should have picked it up. They should have caught it. Listen, he says, Hinei, Lashon Hara humi mitzvot shebein Adam l'chavero. Lashon Hara is a sin between man and his fellow. V'ikar isuro humachmat sha'al yado, the main force of the prohibition is because through it, mazikim upogeim b'misha medabrim alav, we damage and we hurt the person about whom we are speaking. You're paining a person. V'im kein, therefore yotzei l'chura, it would come out, shebeli hatzar v'ha'elbon v'ha'hezek, without the pain and the aggravation, right? And the damage. Hamagia l'mi shemedabrim alav, if there is no pain and there is no damage, right? There is no effect on the person. Ein makom l'shmirat haloshen, so you don't have to worry about what you say. L'fisfor azu, according to this, right? If the whole thing is you're hurting another person, but what if you're not hurting that person with the loshen hor? Then it seems it's okay. L'fisfor azu im yisaper adam bignut etzim v'avanim. So therefore, based on this, if I speak about trees and forests and earth, right? B'vaday lo yitfas machmat sipur zeh ba'avon rechilut o loshen hora o hotzat shemra. So if I just speak about trees and land, I am not falling into one of the various forms of loshen hora. Ki einam balei hargish. These people, the trees don't feel, right? Right? Plants don't feel, right? Lehitzda'er be'elbonam, if they're insulted, to insult a plant or a tree, right? Or a stone. U'besforezu tzadkua meraglim et dibatam be'enei atzma. V'nasit lehem keheter. And because of this, the meraglim felt that what they were doing, there was nothing wrong. They didn't hesitate to speak ill about Eretz Yisrael. That's not the Yisrael of Lashon Hara. Right? Lashon Hara is if I hurt somebody by giving them a bad reputation, I'm hurting them. But what am I doing here? Be'amram eze albon v'tzar yagila le'eretz Canaan. So they're going to speak about Eretz Yisrael. Al yidei zeh shenispar b'gnuta, because they spoke despairingly about Eretz Yisrael. V'im kein ein sipureinu b'gnut ha'aretz nichlal be'isur Lashon Hara, they concluded. Our talking about Eretz Yisrael is not in the rubric of Lashon Hara. All right. Well, one second.
There are people, they're awesome. There are giants, and we're talking against them as well.
Well, but they didn't, first of all, they didn't speak ill of them. They spoke in praise of them. They're, you know, we can't, they're great people there, they're giants. So that wasn't Lashon Hara. That wasn't bad. Good. Val zeho dionu chazal. Now comes the rabbis. Shahaya lehem lekachat musar mimaisa Miriam. They should have learned something from Miriam's Lashon Hara. Sha'asur lesaper b'ginut chefza de kedusha. One is not allowed to speak ill about a holy essence. Va'af kishe'eno margish. Even if that holy essence does not feel anything. Shahare miyad achar sha'amar hakatuv. Shedibru Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe Achiyah. It's immediately after the Torah tells us that she spoke about her brother Moshe. Machriza Katuv, the very next pasuk tells us about Moshe. V'Omer. V'ha'ish Moshe anav me'od. Moshe was an exceedingly humble man, the most humble man in the world. Pirish Rashi. Shafel v'Savla. He was completely without ego. V'hainu shemachmat tchunot nafsho, Moshe, the man, the persona of Moshe Rabbeinu was such, lo avru al iser shel stam loshen hara. If you speak about Moshe, you're not hurting him. Ki lo hirgish be'elbuno klal machmat rov avnuto. Because of Moshe's profound sense of modesty and his perfected spirit, It was water off a duck's back, you'll excuse the expression. Speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe was like speaking about a stone. He didn't care. Didn't affect him. Didn't affect him. That was the Chiddush, that even though they spoke about a person who would not be hurt, it would not hurt him by speaking about him, it was still Lashon Hara. Ulegabi Hatzar, and as far as the pain, Shahaya Alul Lahagia Alav, which he should get with being spoken about, Hayudi Batam Alav Kimisaper Biginut Evan. It's as if they were speaking about a stone, criticizing a stone, or Kore, or a beam. One second. Vaafal PK, that notwithstanding, Nanshu Ha'evin Hazot. They were punished. Because this quote-unquote stone, this Moshe Rabbeinu, was an object of Kedusha, of sanctity. Va'asur l'saper b'genut chefzet Kedusha. One is not allowed to speak despairingly about a holy object. In this case, a holy person. Right? That's part of Lashon Hara. Shekivan sheshem shamayim alav, because he has the aura of Shem Shemayim on him. Hare kol hapogeya bo, whoever insults him, ubichvodo, or his honor, ki'ilu pogeya bikvod ba'alo yitbarach. It's as if he is insulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukimavtiach dvorim klapi ma'ala, and he's criticizing God. Because this is Moshe, who is Kadosh, who is holy, is attached to Hashem. Vizuhi hatochacha she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMiriam v'Aaron. And this is the rebuke that Miriam and Aaron received. Shimuna dvarai. Listen to me. Im yiyeh neviachem, etc. Lo kein avdi Moshe b'chol beiti nemanu. Is this not my servant Moshe who is faithful to me? Peh al peh adaber bo. I speak to him mouth to mouth. Utmunat Hashem yabit. You look at him and you see godliness. Hare lechem godel madregat Moshe Rabbeinu b'nevuah. He was on such a high level. Umadua lo yaretem ledaber be'avdi b'Moshe. Why were you not afraid, God said, to speak against my servant Moshe? My servant Moshe. Haya lechem livlom pichem. You should have kept your mouths closed. Vafal pi sheshafel v'savlanu, even though he himself wouldn't have cared. Machmachu avdi, but he is mine. You're speaking about a man of God. So even if he doesn't feel it. V'chein Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael also, he cheftza dekedusha. Eretz Yisrael is an object of holiness. V'shem ba'aleha aleha, and the name of God is upon this land. Kemosha Amar, the Pasuk says in Bahar, Vaharetz lo timkar litzmitut, ki li haaretz, you can't sell this land, it's my land. Ki gerim v'toshavim atem imadi, you are strangers and dwellers here. Pirush, Shama Sipurno, the Sipurno explains, ki li haaretz, the yaretz is mine. Hagalil, that's Galilot haaretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael, who Eretz Hashem, it's God's land. Ki gerim, V'toshavim atem imadi. You are citizens who live here, strangers. Ba'oto ha'galil, in this land. She'eno b'chlal v'ha'aretz natan livnei adam. It's not, we say Hashem as ha'aretz natan livnei adam. Man gives, God gives man, ha'shamayim, shamayim l'Hashem. Heaven is God's and the earth he gives to us. Not, Eretz Yisrael is not included in that phrase. Hainu she'kilefi shar ha'aretzot. As far, compared to all the other lands of the world, Hare Eretz Yisrael bidargat shamayim shamayim l'Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem. It's godly. V'shayechet likone shamayim, and it belongs to God. U'mikevan shenikra shem ba'aleha ala, since the name of God is upon it. Nitgadel chet ha'maraglim, the sin of the maraglim was that much more severe. Al shelo lakhu musar mimaisa Miriam, that they didn't learn from Miriam, who spoke about a person, what did we do wrong? He doesn't feel it, right? He's such a heavy, high person, lofty person, not going to feel it. Yeah, but you're missing the point. He's a man of God. You're speaking about God's Moshe, right? Madua lo yiretim ledaber ba'artzi. So you should have learned from that and been afraid and reticent to speak about my land. Eretz asher ani doresh ota mireshit hashana ad achrit hashana. Whereas by speaking about Eretz Yisrael, that's Lashon Hara, right? It's not just about hurting the person. It's about taking a davar shel kedusha and denigrating by speaking about a davar shel kedusha or a ish shel kedusha, and that was the point they missed. And that's the whole point of this little Rashi, that it wasn't that the way we always look at this Rashi, well, why is it attached, the story of Miriam and the story of the Meraglim? Because, well, they spoke Lashon Hara, Moshe should have understood not to speak Lashon Hara, they should have understood not to speak Lashon Hara, the spies, just like Miriam's. No, he doesn't say that. They didn't learn from her Lashon Hara. What's to learn from her Lashon Hara? They justified. They weren't speaking Lashon Hara. They weren't hurting anybody. It was Eitzim V'Avonim. Doesn't work that way. You're speaking about God's land. Okay.
One small point. Why wasn't Aaron also punished? Because he
was. We'll have to talk. I just don't want to do this in the middle of the taping. So we'll discuss it after. Okay. All right. Let's go to the next piece. This is from the Oznayim LaTorah, who we've seen many times before, Rav Sorotskin. And we go from the beginning of the Parsha to the end of the Parsha, right? The beginning of the Parsha speaks about Latura to Aretz, and there's a play on that word because you have by the tzitzis at the end of the Parsha, we have the mitzvahs of the tzitzis, and the mitzvah of the tzitzis says lo sasuru, also lo tat, don't stray. Don't stray. The tzitzis are to remind us not to stray from mitzvah. So latur, to travel, to stray, is not only physical, but it's also a spiritual connotation. But he says something very nice there of drush. Uritem oto, uschartem et kol mitzvot Hashem vasitem otam. We know that the mitzvah of tzitzis is a reminder. Like in contemporary society, I guess they still do it. You tie a string around your finger to remember something. Where does that come from? I would suspect that it comes from the mitzvah of tzitzis. I would suspect that custom of tying a string around one's finger as a point of remembering something, it really comes from, what other source could it be? Right? Here we have in the Torah, the mitzvah of tzitzis, the strings to remind us of the mitzvahs, right? So he says like this, Eichev Charlie's Korah called mitzvot al yidei mitzvah tzitzis. I want to ask you a question. How do you remember all the mitzvahs of the Torah by looking at the tzitzis? Oh, look at the tzitzis. I have to be careful with all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Well, we know the gematria, right, is like tzitzit is 600, and then you have 8 strings and 5 knots. So that's 613, right? So, but, you know, not everybody, you know, is quick on the draw. Oh, there's tzitzis, 600 gematria, 8 strings, 5 knots. Oh, 613 mitzvahs. Well, okay, a little bit of a quantum leap to do that. Amnam, he says he wants to come up with a different idea. Tchelet domeliyam. We have a beautiful statement of the rabbis. The tzitzis ideally have tchelis on them, the original tzitzis. They have blue thread. Tchelis domeliyam. There's an associative progression here. The tchelis is similar to the sea, the blue. Uliyam domel rakia, and the yam, the sea, the blue sea, is similar to the blue sky. Virakia domel kisei hakavod, and the sky is similar to the God's throne, which is sapphire, which is, I guess, blue. That's the rabbis. Aval, he says, that is that really enough? Rak et kisei so I can remember the God's throne. I can think of God sort of metaphorically sitting on his throne. Hadomelo, right? Aval eich zochrim al yidei zeh gam et kol ha-taryag mitzvot. But still, how does that remind us of all the taryag mitzvot? I can remember the presence of God. Makes me God awareness that sits, right? That color association, right? But how does the 613 mitzvot get into that? So he says, "V'yesh lomar shebekisei hakavod chakuka demut yukno shel bechir ha'avot Yaakov Avinu." Did you know that the rabbis tell us that the image of Yaakov Avinu is engraved on the kisei hakavod, on the holy throne? Yaakov. V'hu zacha l'ze al yidei sheshamar et kol mitzvot b'mesibot hachi kashot. And why did he merit this? Because he kept all of the mitzvahs of the Torah under the most difficult, adverse situations. So therefore he merited to have his image chakuka on the kisei kovod, on the holy throne. V'chein amar, says, im lavan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. Famous statement of Rashi, that I lived im lavan garti, I lived with lavan v'taryag mitzvot shamarti, and that notwithstanding I kept all the 613 mitzvahs. V'haroe et ha-tchelet, and if someone looks at the tchelet shebetzitzit, he sees the blue in the tzitzit, v'nizkar kisei hakavod, which will remind him of the holy throne. Go to the second column. U'bedemut Yaakov, and the image of Yaakov. Yasim al libo, he will put to his heart, ki gam hu yachol hagia l'madregezu, that maybe I too can aspire to this level of keeping all the mitzvahs. U'bilvad sheishmor tarig mitzvot, I have to gird myself and strengthen myself to keep all the 613 mitzvahs. Uri'item oto, you shall see that that's what the Torah says. We say it in Shema. Uri'item oto, you see it, you look at it. Uzechartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, and you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. But this he wants to suggest is how you get to all the mitzvahs through the tzitzis, because you think of Yaakov, who's on the association of the blue gets you to the Kisei HaKovod, and we know that on the Kisei HaKovod is Yaakov, and we know that Yaakov was im lavan garti taryag mitzvah shamarti, even though I live with the most nefarious person that walked the earth, I still kept all the 613 mitzvah. Oh, so I remind myself of that when I see the tchelet, the blue, right? But, and then he says, v'afilu ata, and even now, she'ein lanu p'til tchelet, that we don't have the tchelets, right? Most people don't wear the tchelets, right? So, haraya, hariya belavan, levad. Even just looking at the white tzitzit, ose roshim al bal nefesh, on a serious person, just looking at the white will affect your spirituality. Hello, hugbar hanisayon bechol davar bimei hastarat panim. We live in a time of hastarat panim, where there's a lot of godliness is hidden from us. And one of the examples of that is we don't have the tchelet, right? Again, some have, some do, some don't, right? I'm not, you know, I don't want to get into that. I mean, I'm not critical of people who don't wear it. I'm not critical of people who wear it. There's yesh v'yesh. There's enough to say that you could wear the tchelet. There's enough to say not to wear the tchelet. But it's certainly not worth a machloket. There's studim lakan and studim lakan. But even so, we're still in a time of hastarat panim, because not everybody is wearing tchelet. Not everybody is accepted tchelet. So we know that when God is hidden from us, sometimes we still have an ability to see him. Even when there's a certain time of hiddenness, we have to work harder. L'fichach aleinu lishtadel, we have to try lizkor et kol mitzvot Hashem, to remember all the mitzvahs, afilu rak al yedei halavan, even through the white. Right? Bechol eit yeh begadecha livanim, he says. Beautiful statement. That the rabbis say, one's clothing should always be white, should always be pure, in a spiritual sense. Mizumanim liyom amita. Right? Ubederech tzchot, and I want to suggest a drush, efshar limtso a remez l'zeh, you can find a hint to this, b'divrei Yaakov, al yemei galuto eitzel lavan. Back to Yaakov again, when he was living with Lavan, ha'arami. Why is Lavan's name Lavan? Im Lavan garti, I lived with Lavan, white, v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. Even though it was Lavan, without the tchelet, right? Taryag mitzvot shamarti, right? Very beautiful drosha. He was called Lavan because he had the potential to be, you know, like in the old westerns, you know, the hero was on a white horse and the villain was on a black horse, right? Right, now white is black and black is white, right. Okay, let's go over the page. Yeah. Over the page, the top piece is a little sad. It's a shame, Shmuel. And it's a little bit of a sad note. You have in this week's parsha a group of people who want, when they were told they couldn't get to Eretz Yisrael, that the Dor HaMidbar is not going to survive, there were a group of people who tried to climb the mountain and get into Eretz Yisrael, right? And they didn't make it. So the Shem Yishmuel talks about it. And he asks two questions about it. Vayashkimu baboke, they got up in the morning, vayalu al Rosh Ahar, and they climbed up to the mountain, etc., ki chatonu. And they said, we sinned. They cried, they sinned. Yesh ledakdek, lama himtinu ad haboker. So first they decided they were wrong. They sinned. They didn't do what they were supposed to. They wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael. Their intentions were good. But why did they wait till the morning? In the morning, we're going to go climb the mountain. Why did they go now? You feel a tremendous sense of Kedusha and inspiration. You know, don't leave it till the morning. Do it now when you feel that sense of your empowerment, right? Why did they wait till the morning? Ubiikara davar, lama lo nit kabla tshuvatam. And second question is, why didn't God accept their tshuva? Acharei asher hitvadu v'amru chatanu, they did do vidui, they said, chatanu, we sinned. So two questions, why did they wait till the morning and why wasn't their tshuva accepted? So again, this is a little bit of a downer, you know, to a certain extent. We'll see what he says. Venera, let me suggest, Dine ktiv bishat hakilkala, when they sinned, it says, Vatisa kol ha'eda, vayitnu et kolam, vayivku ha'am balailahu. And the people cried all night. That night they cried, a deep crying. Ubemedrish rabba, and the rabbis in the medrash explain, Zeh sha'amar ha'katuv, natna alai bekola, al kein saneti. I hated them, God says. I hated them from their crying. In other words, the crying did not help. Their crying did not help. Hapirush, the explanation. Dihine Yisrael be'etzem heim kedoshim v'taurim. The Jewish people are essentially holy people and pure people. V'kol hachet hu b'mikra. And really, sin is by accident. We're only human. I am, after all, only a human being. I'm not a malach. So I sin. I misstep. What is that compared to? Lebeged lavan shenit lach lech. We're busy with lavan today. It's compared to a white garment that got dirty. A person has a white blouse, a white sweater, and it gets dirty. Valkein al yidei tshuva, but through tshuva, ma'avirin et hakete. If a person does tshuva, he can remove the blemish on the white sweater, right? You know, you wash it off, you can clean it off. That's what tshuva does. You clean off the dirt. Ma gam al yedei bechia, crying also. Shahadimot yordot min hamoach, the tears come down from the brain, from the mind, from the heart. V'nikraot mayim tahorim, in their pure water. Shemarchitzim kol tinof v'chol lichluch. So tears, genuine tears, can wash away all of the lichluch, all of the dirt, right? In fact, the Mekubalim, the Arizal says that when a person, sometimes you find yourself crying all of a sudden on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, all of a sudden, that moment, the Arizal says, that's when you're being judged. At that moment, a person is being judged. If a person all of a sudden starts to cry, that's the moment that he's being judged. Right? But that's a good thing. The tears are cleansing. However, v'nisharim levanim v'nikim, and we return to be clean and white. Ach, however, im ha'pegam be'etzem, but if the sin is deep within our soul, it's a profound, essential sin, it's not a surface-level sin. Sh'niz kalkala ha'pnimiut, which affected our whole internal operation, it's a kind of cancerous sin. Chas v'sholom, God forbid, ein takona b'shtifa, you can't wash it off. If it's an internal sin, a sin that gets to the root of a person, that can't be cleansed. Hine yadua shehakol yotze mehevel halom tereb nitchalek b'chamisha motzor apeh. Because he's saying that this cry that they had came from deep within them. Ubasher ktiv vayitnu et kolam hare shehakilkul haya b'pnimiut, that their sin was deep in the essence of their soul, and it could not be corrected, what they did. Just wanting to do tshuva and going to Eretz Yisrael was not going to help them. V'imkein k'tiv, therefore it's written, natna alai kola al kein saneti. That's why God said, even though they cried, I still hate them. I hate what they represent. It didn't help them. Ki kol od shahapnimiyut lo nitkalkala. Lo shayach lomar loshen sina. As long as the internal workings of the Jew has not been affected, God can't say that I despise them. V'alkein lo haya b'koach ha-tshuva l'takein. Then therefore the power of tshuva was not helping them. B'dimaot l'chotz et ha-pigam. The tears could not wipe away, and it can only wipe away surface level, can't wipe away the inside, the deep sin that these people had gone through. Af ki sha'are dimot lo ninalu. Even though the gates of tears is never closed to us, aval asher heim pagmu bepnimiyut, but since their sin was an internal sin, v'gam bachu b'chiyah shel chinam, and it was like almost like crocodile tears. There's a lack of sincerity in their tears. Im kein pagmu b'sharei dimot, they couldn't get through the gate of tears. V'al kein k'tiv b'mishnah Torah, therefore it says in the Torah that based on this, v'tashuvu v'tivku lifnei Hashem v'lo shama Hashem kolchem. They did tshuva, they cried, but Hashem did not accept their tshuva. Hine, then that whole generation of the spies had to die before they got to Eretz Yisrael. Hine lo ho'ilu lo kol v'lo dima. The crying and the tears did not help them. V'hatam, the reason, mishum shepagmu m'kom shemisham bo lo'olam hatikun. Because they perverted their source of their neshama. That's what they pierced. It was a spiritual illness that could not be corrected. Val Cain, lo nitkabla tshuvatam, the tshuva was not accepted. Vehem basher hayu dor dea. They were smart people. They were smart. Hevinu, they understood. Masha pagmu mechilosam anusha ve'eno nitna leherapei. That their mechila was not accepted, and they could not be healed. Im kein, maybe something external will help us. Him tinu ara boker, they waited till the morning. That's why they waited till the morning. Shuzman hachasadim, boker de Avraham. You know that we say, the daylight is chesed, darkness is din. That's why the minig is, people are supposed to open their windows during the day and close the windows at night so the din doesn't come in. But in the daytime, one opens the window so the chesed comes in, right? Chesed is day, din is night. That's the metaphor that we have. So ulai, they thought, ye'oru chesed chinam, litein lem matnat chinam. Maybe we're helpless. We can't do anything for ourselves. Our davening is not going to work. Our tshuva is not going to work, but maybe there'll be the external force of chesed, God's love. Let's wait till the morning so we can have an infusion of His love. Even though we're not worthy, that's because we sinned. We're lacking. We don't have the wherewithal to be forgiven. V'hainu shehir gishu, they understood. Shemeata heim chaserim, they were lacking. Mikol ki avdu kol ma'alatam, they lost their ability to return to God. Shema'alatam hi pnimiyut, their internality. V'ata avdu hapnimiyut, they lost it. Al kein bigshu mi'otzer matnas chinam, so they wanted to get a free gift of chesed. Help them. Ach lo hoyil, but it didn't help. Shai gazar din sheyeshi moshvua. This was a gazar din on them, and these people were destined to die. They were on such a level, right? Now this does not, that's them. For us, there's always tshuva. This was a rare moment in Jewish history, but for us, there's always tshuva. A person can always do tshuva, right? Although the Rambam does say that a person can be so far away from tshuva that he just can't bring himself to do tshuva. So a person has to work very hard on doing the proper tshuva and returning to Hashem, and Hashem accepts us. Okay, one last piece, and this is a reading in Rashi that you're going to find fascinating, right? And I originally saw this in a sefer called What's Bothering Rashi by our good friend Rabbi Bonchek. And I think it's based on a Maral. The Maral has a lengthy discussion of these psukim. And here you have the spies being instructed to go out. And listen carefully, because there's something bothering Rashi here. We'll just read the psukim first. This is at the beginning of the parsha. He tells the Maral, okay, go out. Ureitem et haaretz mayi. Go check out the land, see what it is. Ve'et ha'am hayosheva land, the people who dwell there. Hechazak hu harafeh. Are they strong or are they weak? Hama'at hu imrav. Are they small in number or are they great? Uma ha'aretz asher hu yoshev ba. And what kind of land is this? Hatova, he? Is it good? Imrav, is it bad? Uma ha'arim asher hu yoshev ba. And what about the cities? Ha b'machanayim. All right, are they fortified? Right, fenced in? Im b'mivtzarim, or are they open? Right? Uma ha'aretz hashmeinai, is it fat, the land? Im razar, is it not fat? Hayesh bo eitz, is there wood? Im ayin, or is there not? Etc., etc. And then be strong, take fruit from the land. Okay. Now let's go to Rashi here. Et ha'aretz mahi. Yesh eretz migadelet giborim. There are lands that have developed, you know, strong people. V'yesh eretz migadelet chalashim, and there are lands that have weak people. The citizenry is weak. Yesh migadelet uchlusun, there's lands that have big population. V'yesh mimayetet uchlusun, and there are those with small populations, right? Now listen carefully. Hachazak hu harafeh. Is it strong or is it weak? Siman maser lehem. He sent them a sign. Im beprazim yoshvim, if they live in open cities, chazakim hem. Know that you're going to deal with strong people. They're not afraid. They live in the open. They're not afraid. Shehem hasmuchim al gvuratam. They depend on their strength. V'im barim betzurot, but if they're in fortified cities, hem yoshvim, they live. Chalashim heim, they're weak. They put a fence around themselves, right? Question. Why is this Rashi here? On the words, hechazak hu arafeh. Are they strong or are they weak? Why isn't it in the next pasuk? In the next pasuk, the Torah says, in pasuk yutez, he says, b'ha b'machanayim im b'mivtzarim. Are they in fortified cities? Or are they in open cities? Why does Rashi tell us this simon, the sign that he gives us, that if they live in open cities, they're strong, in closed cities, they're weak? Why does he tell it to us in this pasuk, the first pasuk? What's bothering Rashi? I'm going to show you what's bothering Rashi. In all of these contrasts, the Torah uses the word im. Right? Look in Pasuk Yud Ches at the end. Hame'at hu imrav. Are they small or are they great? Uma ha'aretz asher yoshev bo hatova hi imrav. Are they good or are they bad people? Uma ha'arim in the cities asher yoshev behen ha b'machanayim. Are they fortified? Im b'mivtzarim. Or are they open? Maharetz, Shmeinahi, is it fat land? Im Raza, or Im in a sense, or Raza, right? It's only one time that Rashi doesn't use the word Im. Go back to our original Pasuk. Go and check out the land. Hayoshevala, Hachazak hu, Harafeh. Doesn't say, is it strong? Im Raza, or is it weak? Why not? So says Rashi, That's not how you translate that. You know how you translate that? Hachazak hu harafe. The strong one is really the weak one. The strong one, the one that is strong, fortified, hu harafe, is really the weak one. That's what he's telling. Hachazak hu harafe. If they fortify themselves like a strong fort, that means they're scared. They're really weak. That's what he's telling you. And that's why he has to put it here in this pasuk. He tells us the siman. Siman masalem. Im beprazim yoshvim. If they're rafe, if they're open, Yoshim chazakim, they're strong, they're not afraid. Hey, shesamchim al gvuratam, they rely on their strength. V'im ba'arim b'tzarat. But if they live in fortified cities, hey, yoshvim chalashim, they're weak. So Rashi tells us this now because that's what's bothering him. Why does it doesn't say im? He's not translate. We have to translate it. Hachazak hu harafeh. The strong city is really the weak city. That which looks strong is really the weak city. Amazing. That's how you have to translate that pasuk. Different from all the other contrasts in these two psukim. That's the chiddush, and that's why Rashi tells it to us here and not later on. Okay. Zeu.